This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Sickle cell disease, SCD. It's a genetic disorder I learned from Dr. Henry Miller. Henry is a physician. This is henrymillermd.org for his reporting. Henry is writing up his experiences with sickle cell anemia as a physician of someone struggling with it. He is also a molecular biologist and the Glenn Swager Distinguished Fellow at the American Council on Science and Health. Once upon a time, he was the founding director at the FDA's Office of Biotechnology. And the FDA is in our story, but we begin with an understanding of the challenge. Dr. Miller, Henry, a very good evening to you. What does sickle cell disease do to a healthy human being? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, sickle cell anemia or sickle cell disease is a genuine scourge for people who are afflicted with it. It afflicts mainly Blacks in the U.S. Of African descent. And normally, red blood cells that, of course, transport oxygen to all the tissues of our body are shaped like a frisbee. They're a discus. But in sickle cell anemia, there's a mutation in hemoglobin that causes the cells to become crescent-shaped or sickle-shaped, and they don't flow well. So they clot, they cause damage to a variety of organs, they cause frequent strokes, and they cause premature death in virtually everyone. I first became aware of the genetics of sickle cell disease, actually before I was a physician. When I was an undergraduate at MIT, my undergraduate advisor, Professor Vernon Ingram, had elucidated the molecular basis of sickle cell disease about a decade earlier. And that's a single mutation in the hemoglobin gene. Normally, it has about 300 building blocks called amino acids. And the sickle cell mutation is a change from an amino acid called glutamic acid to one called valine. And it's that single building block change that causes this awful disease. And then when I was a medical resident some years later, I had a patient whom I remember very well, a 20-year-old man who had had all of the ravages of sickle cell anemia. He had had clots and bleeding into his joints. He had severe bone pain. He had had a couple of strokes and had cognitive decline. And by the age of 20, he had had about 80 hospital admissions for various complications of sickle cell disease. And now, as you alluded to, we seem to have a potential cure on the horizon for this dreaded disease.
Now we need to understand what the cure is, because it's not a pill, it's not medicine, it's called the CRISPR technology. What is that, Dr. Miller?
Yeah, CRISPR is a technique for gene editing. And the way that this is performed for sickle cell disease and for another similar disease called, this is a mouthful, transfusion-dependent beta thalassemia, which affects people mainly from the Mediterranean area descent. The way it's done is to take blood from a patient, isolate what are called hematopoietic cells, the cells that give rise to red and white blood cells, and then gene editing with CRISPR is performed on them. And for sickle cell disease, a normal hemoglobin gene for that codes for something called hemoglobin F, which is a fetal variety of hemoglobin. Normally, it's present, it's dominant in the fetus, and then it's phased out after birth. But in this gene editing technique, that's the gene that's introduced, and then the cells that will now produce this normal hemoglobin F are reintroduced into the patient and take over and provide amelioration of all of these awful symptoms. And it seemed to work very well. They did a definitive study in 30 patients. 29 of them had marked improvement, including no hospitalizations for the first year, and marked improvement in their symptoms.
So what they're doing is recreating the conditions that existed before birth in order to generate a machine, a product that will replace the cells that are not proper with the proper cells. I'm trying to translate this.
Exactly. And the end result is that the red blood cells that are circulating in the patient are no longer crescent or sickle shaped, abnormal, no longer have this propensity for clotting and for a poor movement, and move normally. And these patients are really virtually normal in their symptomatology and their ability to do things.
Now we walk the long halls of the FDA, and we come to a room called the Cellular Tissue and Gene Therapies Advisory Committee, where the discussion turns on exa-cel. That's the name of this CRISPR-based therapy. And Henry, this looks like these gentlemen and gentle ladies are ready to go for exa-cel because, well, the risk is worth it. Is that how to summarize this?
That's the bottom line, John, yes. It's interesting that FDA asked their advisors to opine not on the overall short-term safety and efficacy shown in the clinical studies, which is not uncommon. FDA asked them to offer an opinion on whether there would be problems from what are called off-target changes. In other words, when you do CRISPR, you're substituting this hemoglobin F for the abnormal sickle hemoglobin. But FDA wanted an opinion on whether there would be other changes, genetic changes in the genome as well. And that was the opinion. You summarized it, that the effects were uncertain, but the probability was probably low of harmful other mutations. And also, you know, you have to take into consideration exactly what you're treating, and the disease itself is really so debilitating and so awful and life-threatening that whatever uncertainty there is more than overcome by the positive effects.
You quote Dr. Daniel Bauer, director of the gene therapy program at Boston General's Hospital and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and he comment in part, "My guess is that it's a relatively small risk in the scheme of this risk-benefit, but it's new. It's unknown." I like Dr. Bauer. Henry, is that a new day at the FDA?
Well, FDA has its problems. We'll see when we have more examples to go on. But this was a good performance by FDA. They asked the right question. Now, they haven't approved this yet, but I expect an approval will be forthcoming. And one of the conditions will be that these patients be followed up indefinitely to see whether there are indeed unexpected, untoward side effects.
That's what phase 4 post-marketing means. They'll yes, do a study yes. after they approve of it.
Yes.
And Henry, we're talking about 100,000 Americans. There's going to be a lot of demand here.
There will be indeed, John. And this therapy will be it will cost in six figures for sure, more likely low seven figures, that is millions of dollars. The procedure itself is expensive. The recuperative period when the new hemoglobin takes over, it will be somewhat extensive. So this is going to be very expensive, but it's a good investment.
Henry Miller, MD.org is where the reporting can be found. He's a physician, a molecular biologist, a distinguished fellow of the American Council on Science and Health. I'm John Miller.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,